All right, so we're in Genesis chapter 10, and last week we looked at chapter 9, so we're going to move along. Now, reading through chapter 10, it's a genealogy, and so those are always an interesting class to teach. Again, my goal is not to go verse by verse, or name by name, but to highlight some of the things in the text. I'll challenge all of us to continue our study of it. But as we look at these, some texts may label this the Table of Nations, or the nations descended from Noah. You may have some kind of subtitle approximating that. But what you have is a list of names. Again, not a complete genealogy. It's not listing every person, every father, patriarch. But it does give us a list to give us some information. One of that would be time frame. And the sheet I passed out last week has a little bit with that. I'll get you to go back and look at that from last week. But the other thing it gives us is some information in regard to geography, interestingly enough. If we go back real quickly in our minds, when Noah and his family come off the ark, I mean, it's just them, right? It's just the eight of them. That's it. And so it's through Noah's sons and their children that God will repopulate the earth. And so do we know where that was? No, we don't. But a general idea would be in this area, just from what we know from some other information later on. It was somewhere probably here. We know they were the mountains of Ararat were up here. So if we're saying the ark came to rest somewhere in these mountains, he would have come down out of the mountains to discover a new world. They then begin the process of repopulating the earth. Yes, ma'am.
Is that where Turkey is today? Like they kind of think where?
Yes. So I'm trying to, in my mind, do the mental layover. But yes, you're looking at, Turkey, I believe, geographic experts can correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe Turkey's kind of in this area. Of course, you have Israel here. You have, Africa coming up with Egypt here. So it kind of gives you some high points. I'm not going to go much deeper than that right now because I need that map and then I can compare it. But that kind of gives you an idea. Of course, the seven churches of Asia were here. That's where Asia Minor was in the New Testament. That's modern-day Turkey. Does that help? So you have them settling down this area. Now, we do have a few names that are important. So I wanted to take just a few minutes to look at those. Last week, we talked about the three sons of Noah. And so you have who?
Ham
and Japheth. Now, the birth order quite possibly is Shem, Japheth, and Ham. Ham was the youngest, know that. And I believe the text teaches us that Shem was the oldest. Now, from that, what did we learn? Where did the descendants of Ham go? Canaan, right? Canaan. They're in this area. That's where they settled. What about the descendants of Japheth? Probably, they're up north, sorry. Up kind of north and east. And then Shem would have settled, from what I understand, in this kind of general area and would have spread out. So we'll have more to say about that as we move forward. But just to kind of get the concept of you're starting with eight and you're repopulating this whole big globe. That's going to take a little while. You're several generations down the road. We did note last time that as the generations come and go, what do you notice about the timelines? They're getting what?
Shorter.
Rapidly shorter, till they're really not much different than today. So we haven't really seen a big difference than today. I got a bug flying around. I'm going to be like Mike Pence a couple years ago when the fly landed on his forehead and everybody made a big deal about that. I don't know if y'all remember that, but I do. But some bug flying around in my face. So if you see me doing this, that's what it's about. So let's go to the text. Some of this is a little dry. I'm going to try to make it as interesting and engaging as we can. Okay? So let's get into the text. So the first one he deals with, interestingly enough, is Japheth. Japheth, he gives us Gomer, Magog, and then he goes on through all those names. I won't make us go through all of them. But in looking at those names, do any of those stand out to you?
Magog stands out to me.
Okay, you think of Magog. You may think about Magog from Revelation, right? But Magog was a place, a real place. And as you look, so there, Magog, there's Migdon, Migdon right there. And Magog was real close to there. Let's see. Kidnum, I wanted to share the Kidnum who descended from them. Okay, so Kidnum, this term is plural and refers to the people of Cyprus. So you think of Cyprus down the way. May very well have come from the son from Japheth. And so you think about Cyprus, that's those descendants. Tarshish, you think
of... You're talking about Cyprus that's in, that sent them back to their homeland?
No, that's that's a king. That's Cyrus.
Oh, okay.
Cyrus, that's a king in the Medo-Persian Empire. Different, whole different dude, different thing. But what about Tarshish? What do you know about Tarshish?
Jonah.
Where was Jonah trying to sail? To Tarshish. So you think about that. All right. I'm trying to think if there's any more with him.
Well, what about Tubal? Is that, or was that in the...
So Tubal, according to this scholar... believes that these are the Tiberians, a people who lived in eastern Asia Minor. So that would be in this area here, but not Tubal Cain. Don't get that confused. That was way earlier. Okay. That's not related necessarily. Just trying to think. Okay, one other one here. Madai, after Magog, these are believed to be the Medes, where the Medes came from was through his lineage. Now, why are the Medes important? I was talking to somebody about this earlier. Why do we need to know about the Medes? Where do they figure into all this?
That's in Daniel.
What? In Daniel? Yes. What did you just say about Cyrus? He was king of the Medo-Persian Empire. So you have the Medo-Persian Empire coming, coalescing together into one empire, eventually being known more as the what empire? The Persian Empire, more popularly called the Persian, but they were a union of the Medes and the Persians together. All right, so that's kind of Japheth. Then we move down into the text. Oh, let me note this one thing. Verse 5, from these, the coastlands people spread in their lands, each with his own language, by their clans and in their nations. Now, in verse 5, what is he forecasting toward? After the Tower of Babel, or Babel. So he's talking about after that event, they then spread out to the coastlands and filled in those areas. So note that chapter 10 isn't supposed to be chronological with chapter 11. Chapter 11 is a particular event that occurred as they began to settle the land. I just wanted to point that out. So it's not like that's way down the road or something that's going to come later. Okay, so it goes from Japheth. He then talks about Ham. Now, in Ham, you're going to notice a lot of these names probably going to sound familiar. Okay, he notes who are the sons of Ham. These are important. Who are they? Y'all can just call them out. What does it say there? Okay, what's the first one?
Cush.
Who is Cush? What nation forms? It's also known as Cush. It's in Africa. It's Ethiopia. Ethiopia, the kingdom of Cush, which would be, if I was extending my map down, it'd be down here.
Okay.
Right? Ethiopia. We in the New Testament, we can relate to that how. Who came from Ethiopia?
The eunuch.
The eunuch in Acts chapter 8. But these were the descendants of Ham. All right, they said. So from the son Cush, his people moved down here to Ethiopia. They settled that land. All right, what's the second one? So we have Cush, the next one. I don't need to really explain that one, do I? So Egypt, they would have moved over into this region and settled here on the coast. Egypt, is there a more significant nation to the nation of Israel than Egypt? Now, there's some that maybe get almost on equal par, but Egypt, they are throughout the history of the Israelite people. And also, I didn't say this at the beginning, but as he goes through this list, what's the significance of all these names? It's their relationship to Israel, right? And so these would have been people that the Israelites would have known. And so he notes that the second son was Egypt. That's how it got its name, from a son of Ham. And then put. That's not just a command or a directive to your child to put away or put back, right? Who is put? This is a country today that, at least I remember in the late 90s, a lot of activity going on over there. As far as war, anybody know? Put Libya. You've heard the nation of Libya. They believe they settled in Libya. Let's see. Then we have, of course, for Israel's sake, the most significant is Canaan. And where would they have settled? In this region here. And so as you begin to read down the list, those are the heads of each of those. And then he goes through and gives us some sons of each. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on those, but he talks about the sons of Cush, the sons of Rama. He does, well, just real briefly on Rama, you have Sheba and Dan. Do we know anything about Sheba from biblical text? Anything jump out at you? The Queen of Sheba comes to visit who?
Solomon.
Not a whole lot else that I know of about Sheba, but at least that kind of stands out. And maybe as Moses writing this, he records that in particular to relate, because that would be a name that the Israelites would maybe relate to later on. You also have you have one kind of interlude, and he talks about a man named Nimrod. Today, I don't know if you grew up with that name like I did. Nimrod was not a name to give in as a name of encouragement, if you will. That was a derogatory name given to people where I grew up. I don't know, maybe your experience is different, but if you're called a Nimrod, that wasn't necessarily a good thing. However, in the text, that's not what is stated about him. It does call him a mighty hunter, before the Lord. In the beginning of his kingdom was what? Was what?
Babel.
Babel, right, or Babel, or however you want to pronounce that. But that's significant, isn't it, on many different levels. First, chapter 11 is devoted to what?
Babel.
Babel, that's right. And what came out of Babel? Babylon. Yeah, oh yeah, the dispersement of the people through the confusion of language, that's absolutely true. We'll talk more about that
but
when
that
we get there.
Persia or no? Where was Persia?
So Persia, again, I don't have it up on this map, but it's to the east.
Even more east than Babylon?
Yes, I believe so.
Yeah, it's Iran. I mean,
yeah, I believe it's kind of...
Oh. Iran. I mean, to him, it was Persia. I mean, he did not like the Lord.
All right, I'll give you... Here we go. So, this is a little bit wider map. So, here's where the Persians, up through here, up to Parthenia. And so, it would have been this area up here, just a little bit bigger. You can see Persian Empire. I know it's a small map, I'm sorry. But you can see the great extent of coverage it had. It was a very vast kingdom.
In what years?
Oh, I'll have to look it up.
Who would have been the biblical characters?
So, Darius, right? Before that, you'd have Cyrus. Darius, right? Those are the names you'd know. What?
Daniel?
Yes, Daniel's. So, Daniel was written, or he lived during the Babylonian kingdom and into the Medo-Persian Empire. You also think about Esther. Esther was queen of Persia. So relate to that, right? So her husband, Ahasuerus, was king. You also think about King Artaxerxes was king of Persia. Right. So there's a lot of well-known people connected with Persia. Persia is really important. Any other questions? Good. I'll try my best to answer. Okay. So this is kind of interesting. So going back to, so you've got Babel, which the exact location of the tower, we'll get into that in a minute. Don't know that. But Babylon, we can know where that was. And Babylon came out of Babel. The years, I'm trying to get to the years. So, the Medo-Persian Empire. So, Babylonians took 618, they destroyed Assyria. They took them captive in 612. Oh, wait, no. 606. They finally went into captivity fully, 585. So, it'd be 70 years. So, you're looking at around 500 B.C., and I don't remember how long it would have lasted. I'm kind of guessing there. I need to go and look up the exact numbers. But around 500 B.C., the Persian Empire. Of course, the Persians then were defeated by who?
Greeks,
right. The Grecian Empire. Who do you think about with the Grecian Empire? One name stands out above them all.
Alexander
the Great. He's very prominent. If you've ever seen the movie 300 with Gerald Butler, you know, that movie was written about the Grecian people and their defeat, or they're defending themselves against who? The Persians. So, I'm going far afield. Let's go back to the text. All right, so let's look at the other names. So we have Nimrod. It was his descendants that settled in Babel. That's important for an Israelite audience. Why? Because they'll be taken captive by them. So that's going to be very important for them. Historically, that gives them something to relate to. They know where this kingdom came from. Of course, that was much later down the road. It talks about the land of Shinar. That's another one that maybe you're going to hear in the biblical text. There was another one that he's pointing out. Land of Shinar will maybe stand out to you. And then we get into, let me make sure there's nobody else I wanted to mention there. We get into Canaan. Now it says he fathered, verse 15, he fathered Sidon, his firstborn, and Heth. All right, so who are these people? So as we look at them, he's giving us some good information. When we look at Sidon, this was the name of a major Phoenician city. Where were the Phoenicians? Okay, so the Phoenicians were in this area here. And so again, that's something that the Israelites can relate to. So you have Sidon. Who else do you have? You have Heath. It's believed to be that these people eventually became known as the Hittites. Hittites in the land of Canaan. One of the nations that for a long time the skeptics tried to accuse the Bible of talking about a group of people who didn't live. Well, it wasn't that long ago that we discovered, oh wait, the Hittites did exist. They were real people. Well, this was the father of that nation. You have the Jebusites. Who finally conquered the Jebusites?
The Israelites.
Good
answer. David. David eventually conquered them. They were conquered by him. You have the... so he talks about the Jebusites. Let me get back on my list here. You have the Amorites, right? Don't these names sound familiar? The Gershasites, the Hivites, the Arkatites, the Sinites, and he goes on and on. He talks about all these different clans. Well, what do we find later on when Joshua leads the children of Israel into Canaan? Well, who are the people he comes up against? Well, it's these groups of people. Well, who did they descend from? From Ham and from his son Canaan. All right. Let me see if there's anything else that I really want to note there. I think that's it. He, at the end of talking about Canaan, he gives us, the boundaries of the Canaanite kingdom. Now, again, why would you lay that out if you're the Holy Spirit?
That's what you're going to be taking later.
Exactly. So later on, he lays out where exactly where they settled. He's basically laying out a roadmap for later on when they'll come back to take this land. All right. Any questions about the descendants of Ham? I don't know if it made any sense to you, but I encourage you, if it didn't, go back and do your personal study and continue to dig into those things. There's a lot of interesting facts there if you're at all interested in geography and history. All right, let's move to Shem. Shem is very significant to the Israelite. Why?
Jesus came through that line.
That's why it'd be important to us, right?
Abraham
came. And essentially, Shem's your father too. Just like you say Abraham's your father, so is Shem. Because that's who you're descended through. You came through the lineage of Shem. And so, like the others, he gives us a lot of different names. Again, I'm not going to go through each of them, but are there some things that stand out? Let's see. He notes Peleg here in particular. What's interesting about Peleg? If you go down to Let me find the verse for you. So go down to verse 25. It says, to Eber were born two sons. The name of one was Peleg. And then it gives us a descriptor, doesn't it? It doesn't do this with every one of them, but it does with him. What's the description? For in his days the earth was divided, and his brother's name was Joktan. So his name literally means what?
Division.
I guess you'd call him denomination. Denominationalism, I guess. Sorry, that's funny. His name means to divide. So what big event might that point to?
Tower of Babel.
And probably taking place during his lifetime. And so his name became synonymous with that event.
Do you think that there was, I mean, some people say that that's when the land was all together and spread out?
Well, no, I think, it's not my expertise by any means, but I believe you're talking about when you had one body of land. What is that called? It's called, what is it?
Pangaea.
Yes, thank you. The Pangaea. From my understanding, most creationist scientists would say that the division of the lands came during the flood, not during. So these are all post-flood. And by the time you get to Peleg, he's quite far past the flood. And so I wouldn't think he'd have anything to do with that necessarily. Because at this time, do they even know the land's all divided up? And they don't have satellites and big telescopes and airplanes and things that they can go and look at the land. What do they know? Well, they know what's in front of them. So I'm not even sure they'd even be able to account for these big, the way the land's been reshaped.
Where is Mount Ararat on there? And where is the Tower of Babel?
Sorry. So we don't know. So Mount Ararat is a mountain range. Mm-hmm. Okay, so don't we don't need to get in our minds that it's a particular mountain. All right. So the Ararat Mountains are believed to be these up here. So to the north of, say, Nineveh, Haran, right, Carchemish, Susa, all this area. So he could have landed the ship or the boat in any of those areas and walked down. And all of those, you notice, are to the north of the Babylonian, this upper area here. Well, Turkey's over here, I believe. I don't believe it comes down. I believe it's kind of this area here. But now those Mount Ararat mountains go into Turkey. That is correct.
And so they're all living, and then they migrate to the east.
Yeah, so
they're all like multiplying and like moving the three brothers all together.
Yes, they all kind of might. This is belief, right? We're kind of. From my understanding, this is a lot of summation, right? But that they are all congregating in this area here, which would make sense because this is a very fertile area. It would make sense that they would do that. And I'm out of time again. Can't help it. The clock, time stops for no man or woman or person. I guess the thought would be they would came down out of the mountains and into this very fertile area, which, again, I mean, you want, if I'm picking the best land, I mean, if I'm wanting to move somewhere, I'm going to pick the best piece of property.
We don't know what the land was like before.
Yeah, well, and that's another thing. The world looks very different. Yeah, well, you would have the Tigris and the Euphrates here. Would have been in existence. Of course, that's not the Tigris of pre-flood era, but you would have had a lot of river systems.
Is that
to utilize.
Considered the Fertile Crescent right there?
It's part of it.
Yeah, isn't it kind of? I believe it's kind of this right here, right? Do you think crescent, half moon, So I believe it's like this. You think about, you know, the used to be one of the wonders of the world was the Babylonian gardens, right? This is where they were. And now they still keep those up to date, the eight wonders or seven wonders of the world. They change them up sometimes.
I mean,
but anyway.
That was just a list that somebody came up. There's only one left, right? There's only the pyramids are left.
There's only, no, I don't think there's just one pyramid left.
Oh, there's, pardon me?
What were you saying?
Well, the seven wonders of the ancient world, right?
Yeah.
The only one that's left is the Great Pyramids of Giza.
Oh, that's the only one that's left. Yeah, I think so. I haven't researched that. Not the point of the class, though. So they settled down in this area, and so as we get we transition now from chapter 10 and chapter 11. Go ahead and read chapter 11. You get into the description of what happened to the Tower of Babel, and then what God did in reaction to that. We'll discuss some of those events next Sunday. Again, thank you all for being here. We'll close out this session now, and we'll go downstairs and do some card writing. If you don't mind, let's go to God in prayer. Almighty God and Father above, thank you so much for loving us and for blessing us. Thank you, Father, for your kindness and your goodness. Father, please continue to bless us. Please continue to bless your work here in Sanford and throughout the world. Thank you, Father, for Jesus. It's in His name we offer this prayer. Amen. Thank you all.